Well, I hope that what happened up there isn't a precursor to what's going to happen down here. But if it is, so be it. You'll still get the Word of God in between everything. I love you. All right. And I'm going to say this. I've been thinking, when I first started thinking about this, I was going to say it harsh. But I've been thinking about how to tone it down a little bit. And I say it in sincere love, but you know, if you have a problem with the church, you're going to have to get over it. I mean, really, you are just going to have to get over it. Christ died for his church. And we're going to see some things in the passage today that are about the church and about what God does in the church and about what we do in the church. But really, let me just start by reading. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery." I want to stop right there just for a second and let you know that the mystery is stuff that was hidden in the past and it's made known now. It was hidden in the past and made known now. It's made known in Christ. "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written to you already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the prophets by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." See, it was not made known in ages past. And in these last days, these days of Christ, it has been revealed to Paul, and he has shared it with us. This is it. This is the mystery of the gospel, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his powers. I want you to see that. I want you to see that the Gentiles, the mystery of the gospel says that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs. We are to be fellow heirs. Romans 8:17 says this. Romans 8:17, he says, I'm going to probably start in verse 16. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." We're his children, but we're his heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ has waiting for him, we have waiting for us. Everything that the chosen people had waiting for them, we have waiting for us. This was a mystery to Paul and to his New Testament fellow believers in the New Testament. Now, I have a lot of passages written down there for you. I'm going to skip over and read the one from Titus chapter 3, verse 7. I'll probably start in verse, who knows. "That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Amen. We're going to be heirs according to a hope of eternal life, that hope that lives inside of us, that eternal life that lives inside of us and now shines through us. We are heirs of all of that. We are heirs of God, heirs of we are fellow heirs. As he says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow together into the head, But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into him who is the head in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes its growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We become, God makes us part of his body, of whom Christ is the head. Let me read one more before I go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. God's Holy Spirit takes us and makes us a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body. Now, that passage is about gifts, and that's a whole different sermon. But the point is, we are all different members, but we are part of the same body. And that body is the body of Christ. Fellow heirs, members of the same body, that you Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. And partakers of his promise. Listen, the promise is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The promise is now that you have God's chosen people, and then you have the Gentile world being grafted in as part of that same body. When Paul went to Cornelius, remember in Acts chapter 10, he was struggling with that. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He had the vision. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He was struggling with it. But then some guy showed up at the house where he was staying. You Peter? Yeah? Well, come on. You're supposed to come with us and tell us some things. Oh, well, okay. And so he heads on down and while he's still preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on them. This is significant because they are Gentiles. Every single one of them is Gentiles. And it's very significant in the Bible. The Holy Spirit falls on them. You remember John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't say God's chosen people, but he says whosoever will may come. Another passage, when he's John the Baptist is there with two of his disciples, and he sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the entire world. Christ has come. Amen. And that through the gospel of Christ, we are fellow heirs. We have of the same body and partakers of his promise. Partakers of his promise. Hebrews 11:9. This is great. I got these out of order. I meant to do the gospel after this one, but so what? By faith. No. By faith, it's verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He dwelt in a land. You know, he was looking forward to another land. He was looking forward to a homeland. He was looking forward to a land that God had prepared for him. He was looking forward to a land that was home. James 2:5. Listen, my brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who loved him? He promised it to those who loved him. It was rich in faith. You may be poor. You may not have much. You may have everything. But if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. If you don't have Christ, you're poorer than the poorest man. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Christ Jesus, our Lord, through the gospel, we must have Christ. Amen. We must have him. Amen. Through the gospel. Let me read on. Of which, verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am the least of all the saints, who am less than the least of all the saints. He makes it less than the least. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because of Paul, the unsearchable riches of Christ come to you and me. I wanted to explain those, but I guess I can't because they are unsearchable. It's untraceable. It's unfathomable. You cannot discover their end. They are all his truth, all his blessing, and all that he is. Everything about him. I don't even know what to say. It's everything. It's whenever you have that feeling that God has been in your life, that is from him. That is the unsearchable, untraceable, unfathomable riches of Christ. And Paul was sent to make that known to you and to me and to us Gentiles. I'm just going to get to it. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, by the manifold wisdom of God, might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. Now, I don't even know if I can explain this right. And two, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to anybody like it did to me. But listen. The mystery of the gospel says that we are one with his people. And we're not an afterthought. Amen. We're not a footnote. We are not an add-on. Since the beginning of time, God has decided and declared that we would be fellow heirs of the body, partakers of the promise with his chosen people. Now, you have the angels and the principalities and the powers. They're the angels. They're the ones who are created, who are evil and not evil. We in the church become, for lack of a better way to say it, a giant chessboard with chess pieces. And we are, let me just read it, that the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. We become, they're going, wow. You see, Satan, he's not all-knowing. You might say he knew why Jesus was going to come when he came. He did. And he knew maybe how Jesus was going to come. But what he didn't count on, what he didn't know, was that in the wisdom of God, the Gentiles would be made fellow heirs with Christ Jesus among them. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We've been incorporated into equal footing with God's chosen people. And that manifests the wisdom of God. Listen, you need to be involved in the church because this is made known by the church. By the church is made known the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with him, confidence through faith. Therefore, I ask you to not lose heart at my tribulations, which is your glory. I'm gonna skip down to the last two verses. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You see, the end is to glorify God. That's what you ought to be. Your end ought to be. That's what my end ought to be. That's what everybody's end ought to be. It's to glorify God in the church. You see, the church, when you are a part of God's church, you are a part of God's glory. You are giving glory to God. Doesn't matter how mumbled and jumbled the pastor gets it. When you're a part of God's church, God gets the glory. It doesn't matter how, of course, Billy did good. In practice, he didn't do so good. But it doesn't matter how much, it makes me feel better anyhow. It doesn't matter how much he may forget the words and lose his place and all that thing. You give glory to God whenever you are part of his church. Can you be a Christian and not be part of God's church? Yes, you can, but you are out of fellowship with the Lord. You are out of fellowship, and it is only a part, as you are a part of God's church, that you can say, to him be glory by Christ Jesus to all generations. And the people said, stand up with me, if you would, during this time. I don't know. I don't know where you are. I know where you are, but I don't know where you are. If you need to receive Christ as Savior, you come today. And take me by the hand and say, I need Christ. If you need something else, you can come. You can kneel at the altar on your own. You can pray. I'd like to pray with you if you'd let me. Whatever you need today, you do it. Have thine own way.